It is again my precious privilege to welcome you to our broadcast today, and I do so as always in that name that is above every name, that name given us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that truly Jesus Christ is Lord. And the scripture goes on to say that that is to the glory of God. He's revealed to us that God might be glorified in our reaction to it. And thus, we would seek in every way to honor our God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, and thus looking to the greatness of our God, His involvement in our salvation, He as the originator, He as the executor, He as the one who brings it ultimately to its consummation. And we pray and desire that even as we endeavor to preach the Word of God, that God might be glorified in what is said and what is done. And so as we come to this, and of course we're now in that season at the end of the year, and I will take this time to wish each of you a blessed and a happy new year, and I pray that it would be a gospel-filled time in which indeed God would be glorified in your lives. And if you don't know the Lord, I beseech you to fall upon His mercy, to look to Him, look to the Lamb of God, that is Jesus Christ, the substitute. God sent Him into the world. The world marvels and looks with great curiosity at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet some never come to the place where they understand that He is God manifest in the flesh, and that it is through Him that God has chosen to bring honor and glory unto His own name. And thus it is my desire just now to seek to point that up and to direct you in ways that would enable that to take place in your life as well. We are shut up to the mercy of God. And when I say shut up, it means that we are closed off. We have nothing else to say. We have no place else to go. The apostles realized it when Jesus one day said to them, after a crowd had left Him, and He looked to them and said, will you also go away? And their answer was, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And would God that all of those who claim true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ might so be closed off so that they know that there is no other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so I direct you to Him. I direct you to Him in every way, seeking His honor and glory, seeking that you might be built up in the most holy faith. And if you don't know that, then I bid you that you hear the message of our Lord. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance toward God, faith, that is believing, taking Him at His word. God sent His only begotten Son into the world to suffer and die, that poor lost sinners might find hope, because they have no hope in themselves. And so I bid you to look to Him, look to what He has accomplished. He suffered and He died under the just penalty of the law, not because of anything that He had done, but because of what I had done. And so is it true of everyone who will ever call upon His name. Fall on His mercy just now. Look to Him. John called Him the Lamb of God. In other words, the sacrifice that God had provided. And thus we point you to Him. As we again will remark, as we come to the close of another year, man is fond of marking dates and times and beginnings and endings and such things as that. And yet it is that in our dealings with our Lord, we're made to realize that He dwells in eternity. And those things which He has done for us are eternal in their nature. And so it is that we are reminded, and I think of poor Jeremiah as he was in that way of lamentation over the fall of Jerusalem. But he said, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Now listen to this. Then I call to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I hope in him. And I couldn't help but just think on that passage of Scripture that as we are inclined to mark beginnings, and it's well that we do just exactly that, but did you ever think that every morning that the mercies of God are just as fresh, just as full, just as complete? His compassions, they fail not. And it is of his mercy that we are not consumed. And if you know the Lord, then you've got a day of celebration each day as you awake and look to him, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now then, I want to take you to a passage of Scripture that has always been very precious to me. And we're going to be looking today into the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And here I want to look at something that is very important. Two things, two words, two biblical words that are connected. One is the word sanctification. The other is the Word. And so, as we do so, I want to remind you that, first of all, John 17 in its entirety is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ uttered on the eve of the crucifixion. And so it begins with, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Jesus is anticipating that before the night was over, he would be betrayed into the hands of those that would crucify him the following day. And these words, though, prayed in the hearing of the apostles, recorded and preserved by he, the Holy Spirit, as the inspired Word of God. And thus it is that we understand. And he would go on to say in verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And thus sometimes, what is it to be saved? It is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And this, as we understand that, this is the very nature of salvation. It is knowing God. It's not about doing something, making a mere profession, any amount of works that we might do or whatever else it is. It is knowing God, walking with God, being at one with God. And this, on the merits of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, having received the righteousness which is his, having it imputed to our account, having it imparted to our very nature, so that God's people walk with him, and they do so in spirit and in truth. Now, I want to move down in this psalm, and again, not this psalm, but this prayer, because of the fact that he is indeed praying, first and foremost, for those that were right there with him. But he adds something here that will assure us that this same prayer, and it occurred to me one day as I was perhaps having some hesitations about something, and then I realized, wait a minute, Jesus prayed for me. And not only that, he ever lives to make intercession and for those that are his. And so then, as we look at this, as we read these words and are given to understand some things concerning them, we would go on then. And he said this, verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Now here he's speaking distinctly about these apostles, these men that had walked with him, and those that, and I've kept them. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Listen to these words, and these are the words that I want to focus on. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, listen carefully, because this includes you and me, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all might be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And may God bless the reading of his word. That is not, of course, the end of the prayer. It continues on, but in the interest of time, I want to get to our thoughts for today. And these would surround the distinguishing effect, let me say it again, the distinguishing effect in the life of believers who internalize the scriptures as witnessed in such passages as this. Now, what do you mean internalize? I mean, it becomes a part of you. It's not just something that you know in your head. It's something that you sense in your heart. It is something that becomes so involved and so much an integral part of your very life that you can't think apart from it. And so we do this with this aim, that we might read and meditate on the scriptures so as to make us to have instant access to them in all situations. We note that a major activity of the blessed man in Psalm 1, and that Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So it is that the major activity was delighting in and meditating on the law of the Lord. In other words, the word of God. These things which he has given to us, which he has, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, preserved for us. And so we find ourselves in that blessed way of reverencing the word of God, of looking to the word of God. We dare not take away from the word of God, and we dare not add to the word of God. All of these things are there. They are true. They are exactly as they must be. And so it is. And we look at this then, that the immediate effect in that blessed man was productivity. And there was a second effect to be noticed, and that was that the wicked were not going to stand in the way. But the fact is that he was not going to be blown away by every wind of doctrine, and thus was pronounced upon him a major blessedness in that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And not just that he knows how to live righteously, it is that he knows them and he knows their path. He has appointed their steps. He has directed their way. And they indeed know him. They hear his voice. They follow him. And so it is that they are built up in him. Now thus we would understand in that our Lord prayed for this. For what? Sanctify them through thy truth. And thy word is truth. If our Lord prayed for this, we should both desire it and echo his prayer with the hope of being identified in the world as his and being here for his glory. How easy it is to get ourselves separated from the real purpose of God. We find ourselves caught up, perhaps, in religious activity, whatever it might be, going to church, praying the prayers, singing the hymns, doing all of these things, walking away without really having been affected by these things. But the fact is that we would be identified with this hope that we would, and pray with the hope that we would be recognizable in this world as not our own, but bought with a price and belonging to him who has loved us and given himself for us. Now then, sanctification. What is it that Christ desired for these people? And the theological definition is quite simply being set apart. That is, designated, qualified for the Lord's use. In the Old Testament, we read of the vessels being sanctified by blood offerings. And the thought there, of course, is that these things were made special. They were designed for the use in the various types and shadows that would depict the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what his work would be as our suffering substitute. But then, as these things were, and if you'll recall, Belshazzar, the heathen king, actually called for these sanctified vessels that had been stolen out of the temple, and he used them to party with, and his kingdom was taken away from him. And so it is to be made special in a way that this world simply cannot understand. It's not something that one may do themselves. In other words, I'm going to get myself sanctified. No, it is something that he does. Now, regeneration takes care of the change of nature so that we are made holy in nature. What do you mean? Being born again. You must be born again before you can see the kingdom. You must be born again before you can enter the kingdom. These were the things. Being born again, Peter would write in the first chapter of 1 Peter, that we have acted in a particular fashion. And that throughout, John in 1 John emphasizes the fact of the new birth and the outcomes as a result of it. And so it's important that we understand that. You say, well, how do I do it? Well, you don't. And the fact is that salvation is of the Lord. It is a great mystery. What is given to you to do is to repent and to believe the gospel. But here we find the Lord Jesus Christ saying concerning believers, sanctify them through thy truth. This is the way it is going to come about. James wrote in chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. And so, when we hear of sanctification, and there's a lot of perverted thought, incorrect thought, not consistent with the Word of God that we find concerning sanctification. In other words, men figure out something to do and that they ought to do or that they think they've done, and then they call it something that the Scripture is really referring to something else. But to be sanctified, in its simplest definition, is to be set apart and distinguished for the Lord's use. And again, it is all of grace. Now, many think of progressive sanctification as indicated by these words, and we read them in Romans 8:29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Romans 8:29. And this is, it's a precious thought, because first of all, we've got the foreknowledge of God. He knew his people. And this is not about that he didn't know what they were going to do. He's not a fortune teller. He knew them. He was acquainted with them before they knew themselves. And he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. And the thought here is that he would be, and listen to it, the firstborn among many brethren. Even as he was set apart, sanctified for that particular purpose, he is God manifest in the flesh. He is the man Christ Jesus. He is all of these things, and yet he is the firstborn among many brethren. And thus he identifies with his people as brethren. And so, however, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, and so the effect becomes noticeable. In other words, when one is first saved, there's some things there that he is a new creature. There's no doubt. I can remember this. I'm thinking, and it was going through my mind, I'm just not who I once was. I'm not who I used to be. Something has changed. It's drastic. I can't be what I was. And so even as we deal with those things, I understood that something had taken place. And then I began to learn. And then I began to understand. And then the Word of God began to find its proper occupancy in my heart. Not just in my mind, but it became part of my life. And thus we do grow. Peter said, grow, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge or the knowing of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this will produce a noticeable effect. Now consider then the word. I've heard it said of people before, and it's good that it be observed because the world doesn't like it. And I've heard people say, well, that guy's always just spouting scripture. Okay, why not? If that's what's in your heart, if that's the language you have learned, and it is the language of the heart, and it simply comes to his mind as needed. And this I find, the older I get, the more it is taking place, the more that the Word of God rises up in responses, in answers, or whatever it might be. And this is what Peter was talking about when he said, but sanctify, or set apart, the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How else, if not through the Word? Now we further read this in the book of James, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Salvation is an ongoing process. Am I saved? Am I assured? I am. Am I guaranteed by what Christ has done and by the fact that I have been changed? Absolutely. But I'm a work in progress as well. And so, engrafted as being made a part of our very being, feeding upon the life of Christ that is in us. It is life-giving in the sense of defining us as being alive unto him with purpose and with direction. And so there is a mandate to cultivate the presence of the Word of God And how better than by memorizing Scripture? Listen to Paul writing to the Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now listen to its function. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. My, the functionality of the Word of God within us. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This, my friend, is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he desired, not just for those 11 that were with him there, but with the all believers for all time, that the word of God in them, living in them, quickened in them, made effectual in them, is that which would ever shine forth and enable that they should be viewed as very different, very distinct in this present world. And so we would ever have it to be said of us. And so the practical effects of the word dwelling in us, the word is a source of joy. We read in the Old Testament scriptures, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Arguably, this may have been prophetically speaking of Christ, but nevertheless, it was written by the psalmist. And God often spoke of Christ through the experiences of the men who were used to write the inspired word of God. And Jesus claimed these words, I delight to do thy will, O God. What is your delight? Do you indeed enjoy that way of walking with him, seeking to please him, looking to a loving obedience before him, and thus delighting that it would be so? The very words of Mary in the presence of Elizabeth, and if you remember when she learned that she was pregnant with the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact is that she just begun a recitation of Scripture. She glorified God, and all of it was there. And this we would understand. The psalmist wrote this, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119 and verse 11. What's the place of the word of God in your life? What is it that comes to your mind as certain situations are brought to bear? What happens when you are tried? To whom do you go when difficulties are there? I know the tendency that is in me. It's to look to myself. But in the end result, again, I am shut up to the mercies of God. And it is to the Word of God that I flee. And it is through the Word of God that I know that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. My friend, I urge you, flee to him, fall upon his mercy, and may indeed you be sanctified through his truth. His word is truth. Thank you for listening. It's our delight to bring the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to you. These broadcasts are also posted on our website at www.riversidebaptistchurchwb.org, where the Riverside Baptist Church cordially invites you to attend our services at 10 and 11 on Sunday and at 6:30 on Wednesday. We're grateful for the support of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Gallagher, West Virginia. Their services are at 10:30 and 6 on Sunday. And now may the Lord bless you is our prayer. Beside thee, perfect in power.
Sons, Blessed Trinity.